I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique handbag brand, Andy, and this is why I switched to Shopify. I tried three other platforms prior to Shopify, and I remember my breaking point was when I would try to make one little change and my entire site would go down. Shopify made it really easy for me to shift everything over and hit the ground running. I was able to migrate my products and all of my customer information over.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Go to shopify.com/listen to take your business to the next level today.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lay.
We've talked about some really good real estate books on this show. If you want to see a list of all the books we've talked about, you can check it out at rentalincomepodcast.com/books. Joining me on the show today from Milwaukee is Mike Brum. Mike has done a really good job of building his portfolio over the last couple of years. He owns 16 rentals, and what's interesting about them is that all of his rentals are all in the same neighborhood. So I want to find out more about that and more about how he has been able to figure out how to work full-time managing his rentals. So, Mike, why don't we start with your first deal? Can you tell me about how you put that first deal together?
Sure. It was about 10 years ago. I was looking for a house, or it was actually a duplex that I ended up buying. I gutted the whole thing, made it new on the inside and some of it on the outside. And it took me like 2 years and a lot of money to do it. And I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes. And then that was like 10 years ago. And then 4.5 years ago, I wanted to do it again, but I didn't want to do it all by myself. So I found a buddy to go in on a house or a duplex that was $6,000. And again, we put a lot of time and a lot of money into it. We did almost all the work ourselves. And then we bought two more. And then I bought a couple by myself. And then I had some investor help. So that the investor would buy the property. And then I would kind of do it and manage it and then pay them back with the rental income.
When you got the first property, that first duplex, were you living in half of it, or were you renting out the whole thing?
I was living in half of it.
Okay. That's a really good way to get started. So you got just a regular loan because you can get just a regular loan if you're going to live there. So there was no crazy financing involved.
Right.
Right. And so were you fixing it up as you were living there, or did you fix it up and then move in?
Yeah, I lived in the attic for a while. I kind of lived rustically, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of roughed it for a while, but I'm a pretty.
So you were living in the attic, and then were you renting out the two sides?
No, I lived in the attic while I finished the first floor, and then I moved to the first floor while I finished the second floor.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
And so then you mentioned that you got an investor to help you out. And I think that's another really interesting strategy. So you got someone that – was it just someone you knew?
Yeah, it was actually my first – I have several investors now, but my first one was my cousin. He lives in New York. And he was just really interested in what I was doing. And I gave him a tour. And he's like, hey, if you ever need an investor, I'd like to be that person. And we worked out a deal. And I've done that several times. And that's what really sped me up to get to 16.
And how do you structure those deals? Are they putting in all the money and then you're managing it? Or are you putting in some of the money yourself?
Well, they put in the upfront costs of the house. And then all of them need repairs or some kind of work. So I do the repairs. I have an hourly wage. And then I buy the material. And then eventually I put in as much as they put in.
Okay, but you're putting it in through your time, basically.
Yeah, time,
right?
and materials. And like going to the stores to buy material as well.
That's an interesting way to do it. I do like that. So then, and then you manage the properties, and then do you charge a management fee, or do you split the money 50-50?
For my first investor, I don't charge a management fee because honestly, I didn't think about it at the time, but. Mm-hmm. Now, my other investors past that, I get a management fee from each of them.
Okay. How do you approach the investors? Is it just a matter of telling people what you're doing and then people come to you and say, I want to invest? Or do you have a formal presentation that you give them?
No, I've just been talking to people here and there, and people have heard about what I'm doing, and they come to me. But honestly, I'm to the point where I don't need investors anymore.
Okay.
Because in the long run, I'm giving away a lot of the money.
Right.
I'm giving away half the money now, and the investors are going to – they're killing it, like, as an investment.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really good for them. And but I could take it like it's not good for me, but I'm to a point now where I have enough rental income coming in to be really comfortable and not need the investor anymore.
Right. So are you still buying properties, or are you comfortable with the portfolio that you've built up that you're not really looking to add anymore?
Well, right now I'm doing some outside projects, which I just have to buckle down because I got code compliance that I have to deal with. Some things that have to be, I don't know, I just want to kind of tidy things up before I move on.
Okay.
And sometimes I think, like, if I actually owned all 16 by myself, my rental income would be very significant.
Right. And, yeah, a lot higher. Right.
Yeah. And so sometimes I think about buying out my investors, or, you know, just buying one or two a year and not, because I bought like four a year for the last 4 years, and that's a lot to handle.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you structure it? Do you set up an LLC for the houses, or do you just kind of work it out informally?
I did it informally for a long time, but this year I have a LLC with each investor and then an LLC with myself.
Okay.
So by the end of the year, all my properties will be in an LLC.
Okay. Do you find that there's a lot more paperwork when you do an LLC?
Not really. No, I use QuickBooks, and I mean, it's a little protection, I guess. But I don't know. My tenants really like me. I'm not worried about getting sued or anything like that.
Yeah.
But my CPA strongly advises it, and I know other people that are doing the real estate thing, and they cannot believe that I'm doing it informally.
Yeah.
It's just how you run your business, I think.
So tell me about the neighborhoods that actually everything that you own is in the same neighborhood, right?
It is, yeah. About a mile away is my farthest drive to a house. And it is a neighborhood called Harambee. And it's an up-and-coming neighborhood. It's not the east side or anything, but I've lived here for 4 years, and I've had no problems. The people here are super nice, and everyone says hi to each other. There is riffraff, but
so when you're within a mile of all your rentals, was that something that was a goal to have all the rentals that close by, or did you just happen to find deals that were all in the same neighborhood?
Yeah, not initially, but as time went on, I really like the neighborhood, and I think it's gonna grow eventually. It's just taking longer than I thought it was gonna take.
Mm-hmm. Is there a is it good or is it bad? I'm just trying to think of, you've got some efficiencies when you've got everything in the same neighborhood where you're close by. You can get to any rental quickly if you need to. But is it ever an inconvenience to be that close? Like, are you running into your tenants at the grocery store, or everywhere you go, are you kind of running into people?
Not too much. The one thing is that, like, if I did live half an hour away and they would call me, I might wait till the next day to deal with the issue, but now I can just head over there, right, the drop of a hat. And so it's a convenience, it's a little inconvenience. I'd rather not have all my tenants know exactly where I live. I just say, right, I live in the neighborhood. And
yeah. So how do you, how do you get rent? Are they paying you electronically, or are you picking it up, or PO box?
Yeah, I usually pick it all up, but I'm moving to a process where I'm going to give them envelopes with my PO box on it. And then I'm just going to have them mail the check.
Okay.
Every week.
Okay. Like, having like all your rentals all kind of in the same area, are you ever able to like cross market your rentals? Like, so if you have two vacancies, are you, and if you're showing the property to someone and they don't like it, have you ever been able to maybe sell them on a different property that you had open?
Yeah, I have. Just recently I had two open for September 1st, and I had a group come, and they saw place. And I'm like, well, because everyone wants, if you're looking for a rental, they all want to see everything you have.
Right.
Just they want the best place they can afford, you know? So they're always eager to check out both units.
So they initially called on one unit, but they ended up renting the other unit?
Yes.
That's great. Now, how do you advertise your rentals? Like, how are you finding renters?
I use Craigslist primarily, and sometimes I ask if I have really good tenants, I'll ask them, like, I got a two-bedroom open, just letting you know, and maybe they have a friend or a family member that might need one. And that's worked out. That's worked out really well. Sometimes if a mother is upstairs, maybe a child is downstairs type situation. And I don't know, when you have that situation, I feel like they stay there for a very long time.
Right, right. Yeah, building that community is really important. So what's the neighborhood like?
I would describe it as up and coming.
Okay.
Almost no shops or no diners or no coffee shops here. I think in 10 years there will be. Some of my friends think I'm a little crazy for living here because it's a little rougher part of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, the people like live in fear, and really there's not much to be afraid of here.
Right. There's no crime or not much crime to speak of.
There is crime, but it's not any high. I don't think it's that much higher than like across, you know, in the River West neighborhood where everyone thinks it's okay. And it is okay. I think a lot of neighborhoods are fine, but we live in a city and, you know, bad stuff happens in all cities everywhere.
Right. Now, in Milwaukee, you obviously get a lot of snow there. How do you deal with the snow cleanup? Do tenants take care of that themselves, or do you have to do that or contract it out?
I would say 75% of them take care of it themselves, and then I deal with the other 25%. I go and shovel myself.
So why is that? Like, why is it that some tenants don't do it? Is it just the way that those tenants are, or is it
Yeah, some of the tenants I know, it's not even in their lease, and they just go and shovel, and I always check on to make sure that it is shoveled. But sometimes I buy a property and I inherit the tenants, and they've just been doing it forever, and they just keep doing it.
If someone is looking to get started owning rental properties, what advice would you give them? Is there something that you would tell them to look for in a rental property, or anything that maybe you would do differently if you were starting today?
Part of me says you should just dive right in.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make mistakes, but I've also been telling people, if you do this, if you do exactly what I'm doing, you can retire in 5 years. And I'm going to be pretty darn close to that number. So my 5 years is up in October when I bought the $6,000 house with my buddy.
Wow. That is really incredible. 5 years ago, you had no rentals. Like, did you know anything about real estate? Did you have any kind of a real estate background?
I did buy that one duplex 10 years ago.
Right. Okay.
But that was
okay.
Just kind of like the duplex. And then like I wanted like 5 years, 4.5 years ago, I wanted to start a business. Like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy these things. I'm going to fix them up and rent them out until I don't have to.
If someone was looking, so if someone's listening to this interview and they go, you know what? Like, I want to retire in 5 years. I want to do this. How much money do you think they would need to start with? Like, for the initial down payments or to fix the properties up? Like, how much would you recommend somebody goes into a property with?
Well, it really depends on the property, because I've had houses that went for I bought $25,000, needed next to no, you know, fixing up or anything like that. And I've had ones that need, you know, 700-800 hours of my time.
Right.
That I bought for $5,000. So it really depends. If you can make a cash flowing on like a 10-year loan, I think it's a great idea.
Now, it seems like the one common thing that I've seen here in 50 somewhat interviews, it's the people that are able to make a career out of this or live off the rental income, they all seem to manage the properties themselves. Would you say that's part of your secret to your success, is that you were managing the properties yourself, that you didn't have a property manager that you had to pay 10% to?
Uh, think that if you manage it yourself, you will be more successful. But I think there's a lot of people out there that have full-time jobs, and then they have a couple rentals that really maybe are annoying to them because they have to go down there or drive to the property and fix something. But this is my full-time job, and I'm a full-time – like, this is all I have to do.
Right,
is manage
right.
them. And I've talked to a lot of people that said no one will manage your property as good as you do because it's yours, you know. If you hire a company – You're just a number, really.
All right. So as we kind of wrap things up here, is there any other advice that you would give to anyone that's looking to get started, or any other pitfalls that maybe somebody could avoid? Is there anything else you can think of?
I think that if you really put your mind to it and you set a goal, maybe even a lofty goal of 5 years retirement, and kind of live below your means. In the meantime, I started out driving a 2005 Cavalier 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
And I'm still driving that 2005 Cavalier.
Wow.
So I put all the lumber on top of that Cavalier, and I call it my work truck, you know, but it's paid for. It doesn't cost me money. I need an actual truck about 5 times a year, which I can just rent.
Right.
So those big trucks are expensive, and you know that's like a house in this neighborhood.
Right.
And if you just don't buy the truck, you can buy a whole other house.
Right. Well, awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a really great interview, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
No problem. It's great to be on.
Well, thank you for tuning in. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.